I did flames the other day, had to step in. I don't know what's more nerve-wracking, in here or out there with those four, five, six-year-olds. But it was good fun. It was great fun. And actually, you sit there. Actually, you just learn from these guys. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about this later, about humility, but there's just something about the way they come at things. Yeah, it's like herding cats at times. But it was so lovely, so lovely. Anyway, we're going to just come to God's Word. Sarah, can I have that first slide up? I have to sort of take you right back to the end of last year, where we started doing a series that I'm going to teach both here and in St. Austell. And we did a series of three sermons introducing this series that I've called Arise. And it's going to be basically based on, this is from Isaiah 60, lovely verses, Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to your radiance. And I was reading this in the light of a quote that I read by an American pastor called Bill Johnson. And if we go to that next slide, I'm not going to read it, but there's something came together in my mind as I sat at a prayer meeting in Trelander one evening, and this series looking at what I think are basically some simple themes and principles that will allow us and enable us and facilitate our arising and our shining. You know, how do we arise and shine? Well, I've done a, what's it called? Acronym? I always forget that word. An acrostic? Acrostic. And so we're going to start that today. We've done an introduction. We looked at Isaiah 59 first as a sort of a laying the foundation. And we talked about how God sent a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer, a family redeemer, because he's building covenant family. Yeah, that's what this is about. He's building covenant family. And then we went on to look at Isaiah 60 and thinking about the vision that God has for the whole earth. And we looked and thought about what it means to have that hope and glory, a land of hope and glory. Do you remember? Yeah, we sang it, land of hope and glory. But that is what I think arising and shining is going to look like. We'll see his glory and we'll be filled with hope. And so today we come to the first letter of this word, arise. And I've said A for arise stands for ambition for the kingdom. Ambitious for the kingdom. You know, why ambition? I think sometimes in the church, ambition is frowned upon a little bit. And I can fully understand why. Because sometimes I think the importing of a worldly ambition into the church means we miss certain things. We miss certain things. And I think when we make our overriding ambition the growth of the church, then we do miss something. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with churches growing. I think it's a good thing. I think churches grow. But if that is our ambition, if we make our ambition the growth of the church, then things can be a little bit out of whack and a bit squiffy, I think, when we make the primary motivation the growth of the church. I think what Jesus says is we're to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then what does it say? And all these things will be given to you as well. So when we make the kingdom our ambition, I think the church does grow and develop. Yeah? There is that progression and onward movement, whatever that looks like. But we don't want to make it about bums on seats. You know, it is about people being saved. It is about people growing in their understanding of who they are in Christ and the mandate and mission that he has placed upon their lives. But we start our primary sort of motivation is for the kingdom of God. And I think not. So I want to say that, you know, God has created his church as a sort of a conduit through which often, but I have to say this, not always, the kingdom comes and increases. He's given us a role in being partners with him in seeing the kingdom of God increase and grow. And I think it's a fair and a right biblical motivation. Because it says, even way back in Isaiah, and we say this often in this church, we say, you know, of the increase of his government. What's his government? His rule. His influence. On the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. What does no end mean? No end. It's going to increase. It's going to grow. And then there's this really puzzling passage in Matthew. The kingdom, this is from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing. And it talks about violent men taking hold of it. Some of the translations talk about violent men coming against it. But there's something about the increase and growth of the kingdom. So I think it's a fair motivation for us to have when we say we're going to be ambitious for the kingdom. That's the main thing. We've got to think about what that then looks like. Now, I have to say, what I'm going to say next, for many of you, will be a repeat. I can't remember if I've shared it on a Sunday morning, certainly on a Sunday evening a few years ago, I shared pretty much what I'm going to share this morning. So I'm sorry if this is a repeat, but I'm not actually, because I wrestled with that this morning, a little bit of an amazing thing that happened this morning. I wrestled with it. I was coming in thinking, Matt, should you be bringing all this stuff again? You know, and then, bless, you know, we had our first service, 9 o'clock service this morning. Phil and Sue Lenton were leading, and Sue starts speaking, and she, you know, two of the scriptures I'm speaking on this morning, she shared this morning, and she just nailed it in terms of one aspect of what I'm sharing today. She took it onto another level, a personal level, and it's almost identical to what I'm saying. So I'd encourage you to go back and listen again on the website. Go back and listen to what Sue said this morning. And so, don't you just love it? I said to Phil afterwards, we couldn't have planned this better, Phil. Actually, I think if we'd have started trying to work it out, we'd have probably missed it. So I just feel the Lord is in this morning. I think there's a word here for us. And I think this particular word, I'll touch on it in a moment, that Sue brought, that I think there is something for us. So I've just got five things, practical things, that if we apply to our lives, I think we will be being ambitious for the kingdom. And we will see the kingdom come and increase and grow in our lives and in the life of our church and beyond, into those places where God puts us, that we have some influence and impact. First thing I want to talk about is being present. There they are. Being present, being appreciative, being perseverant, and being humble and being generous. It's not exhaustive. Have I spelt something wrong? Perseverant. Persevering. Is there not such a word as perseverant? Thank you. Okay. Right. Now, I have to overcome feeling a bit stupid. Okay. But do you know what? It's okay. Because what does it say in the Bible about the foolish things of this world? Okay. Being present. Okay. I'm going to stick with my word because it works. Being present. The kingdom of God is here and now. And it's present in this moment. It's not something we have to wait for. One day we're going to experience it in its beautiful fullness and its entirety. But in the meantime, what Jesus says in Mark's gospel, he says it's here and now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what does it mean if the kingdom of heaven is at hand? If something's at hand, what can you do? You can grab it. You can take hold of it. And I think this is what Jesus is saying. Says the kingdom of God, when he was here on earth, he said, it's here and it's now. It's to be taken hold of. Which means we can take hold of it. We can embrace it. We can take it. Actually says, further on, it says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within you. It's to be grasped and experienced. I want us to think about how we can do that in our connections with one another. because there's something about the way we relate to one another will allow us to embrace something of the kingdom potential of the moments. So I want to talk about being present initially with one another. Again, I've shared this story before, I'll share it again. There was a time in my life, probably 6 or 7 years ago, maybe 8 years ago now, where I just woke up to the fact that I'd been a workaholic. You know, I just worked. And I worked, and it just you know, for years, I had been out. Particularly in my last church, we felt this acutely. I just was out. And then, do you know what? Even when I was in, I was out. And we just had little ones, you know? And I remember saying to Ange one day, and this is not her getting at me. I talked about this time in our lives where it was the five of us. And she just said, actually, Matt, do you know what? It was the four of us. Because you were out. And even when you were in, you were out. So I wasn't present. I thank God that I sort of woke up to that. And I hope, and I do my best to be as present as I possibly can. And I think I do, certainly in the family, so don't worry about that. But think about it here in our connections. After the service, sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it? Because actually it's quite busier, a little quieter today with the two services, but some Sundays we're rammed in here and I'll be having a conversation with Sage Em, and I've got somebody I want to talk to over there and I'm kind of looking over his shoulder. I'm not present. Do you know what I mean? And what I'm doing when I'm not present with him or with my family or with anyone is actually I'm missing the possibility, the potential of that moment. There's something I could give that will build the kingdom or receive that will build the kingdom in me. But because I'm distant and detached, distracted, and I'm looking over, I'm potentially missing that moment. And so I just wonder what that looks like. How do we kind of embrace that? How do we incorporate that into our life together as a church? Being present with one another. Being present with those people that we are in contact with. Because actually there's something really good, isn't there, about being engaged and present with a person. You know, don't you? You know. So there's something there that builds the kingdom in terms of the way we connect with one another. But there's also, you know, it's about how can we be present in our relationship with God? How can we be present in our relationship with God? Now, I remember this moment. It's just one of those things that this is so unearth-shattering. I'm going to make words up today. You know, I was walking along, and cut that slide up. And I don't know, sometimes you get those grey days when you can look at the sun. And you just see the sun, the shape of it. And I stopped, I was walking along up from the beach at Chapel Porth, and I stopped and I looked up, and it was a grey day, and I could just see the round sun. And this thought came to my mind, as it was like the sun was trying to break through. And I just felt the Lord sort of reveal something. And says, actually, I'm in every moment. I'm in every moment. There is something of my presence and power to be received in every moment of your life. You just need to seek it and see it and take hold of it. You know, something about just trying to embrace God in every moment of our walk with him. And it might be really mundane. It's like, is it Brother Andrew? People used to come and watch him do the washing up because actually he was practicing the presence of God even with his hands in the sink doing the dishes. How easily we are distracted. I'm not going to talk for you. I'm going to talk for myself. How easily I am distracted. How easily I become very earthbound in my thinking. And these dialogues start in my head that are not anything to do with the presence of God. Because I just think just as something of his presence can be grasped in every moment, there's also something of his presence that can be grieved in every moment. Does that make sense? So there's something there about being present with one another and being present with God. Second one I want to talk about is being appreciative. And this is what Sue was talking about this morning, being thankful. You know, if we are thankful, then it protects us from a whole load of stuff. It's like an inoculation being pumped into our arms. When thankfulness starts to course its way through our minds and our hearts, then it's a bit like we're protected. We're protected from a range of disease-like influences. You know, it protects us from entitlement, bitterness, resentment, apathy, anger, unforgiveness, jealousy, competition, pride, arrogance, greed, suspicion. You know, the list could go on. But when we start embracing thankfulness and we apply it to these situations, there may be some there that we have a particular propensity toward. We start applying thankfulness to it. We start bringing that sacrifice of praise. Things change. The circumstance may not change, but it may. But actually, our attitude towards it tends to change. So thankfulness. And again, listen to Sue's testimony, because it's beautiful. It's lovely. Just listen to these two verses. These are the two verses that she shared this morning, which says to me, there's a word here for us today. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think we just need to remember to be appreciative, to apply this principle to our walk with God and our life together as a church. We should be quick to come up here and give thanks for the good things that he is doing. And I just think it's really important that we do this, because it's not about actually just giving thanks for what's happening in this moment. It's also about what is to come. You know, we sung this morning about being hungry. And then there's that kind of like, you know, we sung about, I can't remember the line, it talks about this kind of, you know, the groaning. And that's about anticipating, longing for things to come. And what we do in the moment with thankfulness says something about what we will be able to encounter and receive in the future. This is what it says in Zechariah 4. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. That's a whole other story. We can go into that another time. Rejoicing over the small things now is about saying, yeah, we're celebrating the small things, but we are rejoicing in the fact that the Lord, what does it say? The Lord rejoices to see the work begin, which would suggest there's a progression, there's a growth, there's a journey to go on. But how we handle these things in this moment impacts, I think, upon how we go forward into that. So how we handle the small stuff is linked to the experience of the greater things that we sense, kind of, and know, that and long to see within us. So the third thing is, do you know, I missed, thank you. Hey, it's all right. I feel better now. I get really sensitive about that kind of thing. Actually, but saying that, now I realised I've actually missed one off. It was early this morning I was writing this. Being positive. Being positive. Okay, so being present, being appreciative, being positive. Focusing on the positives. This is not about necessarily walking around with big smiles on our faces. Woohoo! You know, although there's a lot about the joy of the Lord in the Bible, isn't there? There's a lot about the joy of the Lord in the Bible. And I think we can encounter and experience the joy of the Lord even when we're feeling low and facing difficult circumstances. It may not express itself in ha ha ha, it may be just a deep inner sense of joy. Sometimes it is expressed in laughter, and that's okay too. But this is about having an outlook that means we're governed by the positive more than the negative. we're governed by the positive more than the negative. It's about God's yes being bigger than our no. God's yes being bigger than our no. I've heard it said that our strongest yes is our best no. Christianity has for some become a whole list of no's. And sadly, this is how I think so many from the world outside look on, think that the Christianity is about a whole list of what you can't do. And they've missed the point totally. I love this this translation of 2 Corinthians 1 from the Message. It says, whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus in him. This is what we preach and pray. The great amen, God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. We know that there are no's. And often they're there for very good reason. But we need to make the starting point the truth of who we are in Christ. The truth of who we are in Christ. What he tells us about us in his word, and that what the Spirit testifies to us. The truth of who we are by word and spirit. That's the starting point. I'm a son. You're a daughter. So let's make that the starting point. And what about our vision of what could be? Well, let's make the vision of ourselves, the church, our community, the world beyond, shaped again by his word and by his spirit. Surely this is the vision that we should have for ourselves and our communities. A vision shaped by his word and his spirit. We need this vision, because it says in Proverbs, doesn't it, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Let's keep his vision of his kingdom advancing, of us being transformed from one degree of glory to another at the very forefront of our minds and our thinking. Let's just think for a moment. What happens when his yes becomes bigger than our no in prayer? What happens when his yes becomes bigger than our no in prayer? When we start to take even the little faith that we've got, and we focus it on the awesomeness of God and who he says and what he says in his word. So we take that and we focus on that. What starts to happen? The God who loves us, who wants to see us healed and whole and set free and living in the fullness of what he sent his son to achieve, and sent his son definitely to achieve, yeah? How about it when we lay hands on folks to pray? Well, when we just go before God in the quiet place and we start to pray, that we do so not allowing the fears and the doubts and the disappointments to cloud that moment and shrink our yes and increase our no. What will the impact be? Number four, my favourite word in the whole world, being perseverant. I think this is really important. I've got this written down. I don't know where I read this. Vision is what gives pain a purpose. Sometimes we have that vision before us, and sometimes it's a hard, hard journey to take hold of it. And sometimes we feel like giving up. We need to be perseverant. Persevering. We need to persevere, however you want to say it. Because the reality of what we're talking about today, yeah, God does do the instant sometimes, but often it's hard work. Often it's the long haul. Often it's about saying, okay, I want to see his kingdom come personally, within the church, within the community, further on into the world, and I'm going to just knuckle down. And I'm going to seek it, and I'm going to keep seeking it. And I think sometimes we don't see it because we stop seeking. I know that. The world has had an influence on the church here. Because we live in an instant age, don't we? We live in the age of instant coffee. Got to say it. We have fresh coffee here. And it takes time. Anyone like, you know, when you go to the posh restaurants, not what I do very often, the real custard or the creme anglaise. have to whisk the eggs over the bain-marie and all that. None of this birds out the can. Actually, I like that. What about instant credit? How much trouble is that getting our world into? We want it and we want it now. But the reality is, often, not always, often, it's hard work. It's graft. It's contending for it. And when opposition comes, because it is a battle, isn't it? Being willing to say, I'm going to press in for this. I'm going to keep that vision before me and I'm going to press in. Philippians 3:14. With this goal in mind, I strive. I strive. What does strive mean? Hard work, struggle, towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side. Anyone feel hard-pressed? We're crushed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry round in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Romans 8, verse 25. But if we have hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And then 2 Peter 1, verse 3. I'm not going to read it. It's too long. I'm not going to read it. But again, if you want to go back and read it, it just again talks about making every effort. It talks about perseverance and perseverance leading to godliness. But this is what it also says in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. I love this. It starts by saying, he has given us everything we need for a godly life. Okay, he's given us everything we need through a godly life. So if you are struggling today, and if you are struggling to persevere, and if you are saying, actually, I want to give up, and actually this vision that I felt so kind of clearly and acutely in the past, I'm struggling to see what it is in this moment. Can I just say, God has given you everything. He's given you everything you need to go forward with this. It says it there, doesn't it? And we talked about the promises of God. That yes, that he testifies to us. He has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Given us what we need. Can I just say, you may not feel it today, but can we just agree together? You may not feel it, but can we just agree together that that is the truth? Yeah? Are we in agreement today that he has given us everything we need for the journey ahead to take hold of the vision that he's placed within us of who we could be and what we could see within the life of the church community and beyond? Is there? Do we just agree that? Are we ready for the long haul? To press in and persevere, because that's what we're called to. Okay, second, what are we? I don't know, whatever number it is. Fifth. One, two, three, four, five. Fifth, being humble. Now, this is not an optional extra. This is key. This is absolutely fundamental. James 4:6, but he gives us more grace. This is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows his favor to the humble. He shows his favor to the humble. And then Matthew 18 and those opening verses there, he says about the little children are coming to him and he says, you know, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility, being humble. If we can get this, then I think we start to experience them all. We start to experience the kingdom of God increasing and growing in us and through us, around us and about us. What does humility look like? Again, we could spend hours on this, you know, but I'm just going to read a few practical things about what humility looked like. If you could just, I kind of identify maybe with some of the things I'm sharing. So humility, what does it look like? You know who you are, without others needing to acknowledge it. You know who you are without others needing to acknowledge it. You allow others to get credit for the things that could be attributable to you. You take a lower seat than you deserve. You refuse to promote yourself. You allow others to share their accomplishments, especially when yours are greater. You have an attitude that no task is beneath you. You're honest about your weaknesses. You are honest about your mistakes. You live below your means. You work to promote others. You are teachable and correctable, not becoming defensive in the face of correction, but valuing this, inviting it. There's a lot more that could be said about humility, but God is calling us to it. Not a false, self-deprecating, woe is me type of humility, but a humility where we're not kind of thinking less of ourselves, because we've just said earlier, we need to have the thoughts in our head that God has about us. You know, and he thinks we're great. And he loves us. And he's created us. And he's transforming us from one degree of glory to another. It's not being down on ourselves. It's not thinking less. It's not thinking less of ourselves, but it's about thinking of ourselves less. It's about thinking of ourselves less. It's about saying it's about you. And it's about those times when we just need to put aside what I want and actually say it's about what you want. And we've got to learn to die to self. And when we learn to die to self, what happens? We live for him. Sorry, I'm going on too long. Nearly finished. Finally, it's about being generous. And I just think generosity is a really important principle for the growth of the kingdom of God, because it's about taking what we've got and it's about applying it, whether it be our time, effort, energy, money. Actually, what we're doing is we're saying we're sowing this into the kingdom. You think about finance. When we give, we're sowing into the kingdom of God. It's like seed that we're giving away. And that's how we need to see our giving. Yeah, it's about sowing into the kingdom of God. And when we sow generously, what will we see? We will see increase and growth in the kingdom. Okay. So add to my five things there, being thank. What was the one I've missed off? Positive. Okay. I just want to finish by describing a picture, and then we're going to close. In Holland, at this time of year, and through the winter, they have very large greenhouses. And I'd only thought of this as I came this morning, so I haven't got a picture of one to show you. But they have very large greenhouses, massive. I've never seen them, but apparently, I'm told, huge, acres and acres and acres. And you'll go in the middle of winter with frost and snow on the ground, and what you'll see is acres of beautiful tulips growing. Tulips, oh, fantastic. That's just, God is just speaking today, isn't he? And Kelly and I, we had a chat earlier on, and she's obviously prepared my sermon illustration. Gina. Anyway, tulips. And these would have come exactly from there. There's no label on it. Taking the price off. Now you're going to have to help me here, Mike, because I guess it's very similar to the Eden Project, isn't it? It's about controlling environments. It's about creating an environment that something that is not designed to grow at that moment and in that time can grow, because there is a cultivating of an environment. I guess it's the same, isn't it, about the domes at the Eden Project. They control the environment. Callie, have some flowers. What happens when we bring these things that we've talked about today into that an environment? What happens if we were to apply these six things to this environment? I just think it would create an environment where the kingdom would grow and increase. It's countercultural, A lot of what our world says doesn't, you know, it's not about being generous and humble, and you know, it's about being instant and being grumpy when you need to be grumpy, and you know, the world's not, it's different. But if we set a different environment, if we say, actually, we're going to be present and appreciative and perseverant, however you want to say it, and we're going to be positive and humble and generous, then we're shaping and changing the environment in this place. And even though the temperature is dropping right now in the natural, if somebody wants to switch the heater on, I'm seeing coats go on, it will raise the heat in a spiritual sense. Change the atmosphere. So that's it for me. I think there's a word here for us. And I just want to just pause for a moment. And we'll just think for a little bit about how we react and respond. Because I think probably looking on, there's going to be different things. I think that the thankfulness one is one that I think, because it's come up so consistently through this morning, we just need to hear God on that and say, actually, yeah, let's be intentional about being thankful. You know, maybe that's something he just wants to underline this morning. But let's just pause and let's just think on these things for a moment. Let's just ask the Lord to just reveal to us by his Spirit, maybe you individually or maybe us corporately as a church this morning, what it is. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your revelation. We started by saying we need to hear that still small voice. Would you speak now, Lord? Would you speak?